Time for some shipping news here on Breakfast, and for the first time ever, carbon dioxide from ships at sea will be regulated following an historic agreement reached after 2 weeks of detailed talks in London. Shipping companies have agreed to halve their greenhouse gas emissions by 2050 under the plan, which was brokered by the International Maritime Organization. Now, you mightn't think carbon emissions are a problem on the high seas, but shipping accounts for about 2.5% of global greenhouse emissions, and that's expected to rise sharply in the coming year. The new agreement will now require a revolution among ships, which are overwhelmingly fueled by heavy oils that are particularly carbon-intensive and dirty. Peter Van Doan is a maritime logistics expert at the Centre for Supply Chain and Logistics at Deakin University. Peter Van Doan, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
A 50% reduction in emissions sounds like a positive step, but some countries, like the Marshall Islands, for whom rising sea levels is a real frontline concern, they wanted even bigger reductions. Is it enough? And it's a pretty slow time frame, 2050. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it is. I think it's a bit disappointing. Like you said, the Marshall Islands and about 40 other countries were looking for about 100% by 2050, I think that the 50% is probably a bit of a low target. But having said that, there's another 5 years of negotiations, so it's not all over yet. And I think that they set 50%, but they set the target. Hopefully, they're aiming for 70%, and they're aiming for 30% by 2030, I think. So it's a gradual process, and who knows? At least it's a step in the right direction. Yeah, previously, it was all for everybody. It's very difficult. Where do you assign the attribute to greenhouse gases to? Is it the country?
Well, that's right. Is it the country exporting the goods or the country importing the goods?
Well,
the country
which
owns the ship. Who's going to be responsible?
That's right.
Do we know the answers
the ship
to
is
that?
Where the ship is registered. Yeah, and it's registered. Most 75% of ships are registered in places like the Marshall Islands, actually, and Liberia, Panama. So you'd have to ask. Are those countries will they be able to actually enforce some of these rules?
Well, under the agreement, Peter, who is responsible?
That's still to be sorted out. There were 173 countries are part of the IMO, the International Maritime Organization, and they now have said, look, we're going to work toward this, and there's meetings further on. It's part of the Paris Climate Agreement, which I think is a meeting in Poland at the end of the year. End of this year, so more will be made known about it. So.
Let's talk about how they would do it, because we know that ships are generally fueled by this sort of heavy, dirty residual fuel oil. How would they switch it? Because these ships are built, they're expensive to build, they take years to build. Can you refashion? What fuels a ship?
You can to some extent. You could start burning more cleaner fuel, but then that's obviously more expensive. So that will be
cleaner fuel like what?
Marine diesel. So that's this heavy fuel, like you said, it's the bottom of the barrel of the refining process. So, and consequently, there are more alternative fuels that better same part of the same process, but there's also alternative fuels like biodiesel. There's potentially LNG. Our ships are already running on LNG. There's even some.
Isn't LNG greenhouse emissions intensive?
It is as well, but not as bad as heavy fuel. And there's already ships running currently, especially small ones that are running on batteries, electric power. The other one is
when you say ships running on batteries, what sort of ships? Export like ships, container ships?
These are smaller vessels like that, barges in the Netherlands, and also ferries, but in Scandinavia. But that's the process. It's a bit like the solar panels. They were very expensive 10 years ago, and now the price has come down. So it'd be similar with that technology.
What about? I've seen talk of wind. Presumably that means sails, does it?
Yeah, they have. There's already ships that have wind actually sails assisting. Obviously, can't be completely, especially for larger ships. You can't. And for container ships, it's difficult because where do you put the sails?
Mm.
But for like bulk carriers and tankers, they've got a large area on deck where they could actually put sails. So that will assist us somehow. Better technology, slow steaming, which helps as well. It's the exponential as the ship goes faster, exponentially the fuel use goes up. So there's technology, and then like I said, we're talking about 32 years away. So new ships can be built and are being built with already those improvements in mind. So
is this one of the conditions of this agreement? This agreement. We're speaking with Peter Van Doorn. He's from the Maritime Logistics Centre for Supply Chain and Logistics at Deakin University about this agreement that's been signed to halve greenhouse gas emissions in our ships by 2050. Under this agreement, Peter, that's been signed by the International Maritime Organisation and all its members, is there any kind of condition that new ships be built with lower emissions capacity?
No, that's really up to the ship owners. And look, and some ship owners and ports have already agreed that they'll, like the Port of Rotterdam has said, will be 95% decarbonised by 2050. So, and the largest shipping line of the world, Maersk, they've already said we'll better that 50%. So the shipping lines are very aware of it. They're obviously, they're commercial organisations. They are wary of their customers who want greener supply chains. So the more responsible ones have already taken this. They've already progressed some of this stuff. They knew it was coming, and the decision is now 50%. Would have been, my view would have been better 100%.
Sure. But customers want greener supply chains, but customers also want cheaper carrying costs, I imagine. And this will add, I presume this is one of the arguments of those who are trying to water this down, add to the costs of exports. Of shipping.
Yeah, it is. But then, if you have especially for Australia, a ton of iron ore being exported, what it might add, a couple of cents or something. So it's not. And same, a container full of 30,000 T-shirts, you might pay 5 cents more for your T-shirt, or for your television. So it's not massive, but and I think, like I said, we are all aware of what's happening, or certainly in developing countries. It's the hardest bit will be getting we are all aware of what's happening in developed countries, but the developing countries, getting them over the line, that's going to be the hard bit.
Okay.
As usual. So
Peter Van Doorn, thank you very much for joining us.
That's right, friend. Thank you.
Peter Van Doorn, a maritime logistics expert at the Centre for Supply Chain and Logistics at Deakin University in Melbourne.